from the CBS Bay Area studios. This is KPIX 5 News.
Now at 6 and streaming on CBSN Bay Area, local families grateful and emotional over new efforts to vaccinate a population that is often overlooked.
In the world of special needs, you don't always see people reaching out.
And hundreds fill San Francisco streets, joining a nationwide rally cry against deadly Israeli attacks in the Gaza Strip.
Palestinians have been kicked out of their homes. They've been slaughtered by the Israeli military.
I'm John Ramos in Concord, where a two-alarm fire that destroyed this church building isn't dampening the commitment of the people who worship here.
Good evening. Thank you for joining us. I'm Juliet Goodrich.
And I'm Brian Heckney. Much has been made of the Bay Area's vaccination success, but for a lot of people, getting that shot is a lot more difficult than just showing up.
KPIX 5's Wilson Walker on efforts to help many of those folks in Redwood City.
Been to a lot of vaccination clinics over the last 4 or 5 months, and at them I have encountered any number of grateful, if not emotional, people, but I can tell you that I have not encountered anything like the gratitude that I saw today here in Redwood City.
A lot of times it's mass vaccination, and you know, children or adults who have disabilities take longer time, they just get left out.
If you don't fall into the 90 percentile, oftentimes you get left behind.
It was a clinic for those who may not have had any other practical option. Dignity Health, with a team of partners, reached out to the special needs community, trying to find those who might have challenges with a typical vaccination site.
When you have a special needs child, there's a lot of challenges and even getting him into a medical facility.
He's so big, he's autistic, and anything is hard. You know, dental procedures, everything is hard.
So the plan today was to be flexible. Some patients were best met at their cars. Others were brought inside where a number of different environments were available. Whatever helped make someone comfortable.
We've created a whole program around it. Quiet rooms, a number of sensory-friendly toys, such as balls, bright colors, and low light, just to not overstimulate them, and that's been really helpful.
The staff was just so patient, so understanding to the situation. They really, without them, it wouldn't have happened.
It helps having some people that have experience with special needs, helps the parents, helps the patients.
And they made it work right down to the day's last visitor. Every shot, a lesson in patience and care.
Go, go, go. 1, 2, 3, go.
We got it! In the world of special needs, you don't always see people reaching out and stepping out and taking that extra step to meet somebody where they're at. And that's what happened here today, and that's where I'll be forever grateful for it.
Thank you so much.
Now they're going to do it again. Same clinic will be held next month in San Jose. That will be on Saturday, June the 12th in Redwood City. Wilson Walker, KPIX 5.
A new vaccine clinic that just opened in San Francisco is also vaccinating people 12 years old and up. The site is located on Sunnydale Avenue in Visitation Valley, a neighborhood hard hit by the pandemic. Today, kids who showed up with their families received the Pfizer vaccine, the only vaccine approved for children that young. Families who showed up today were greeted with music, free boba, and door prizes.
At this point, you know, we've had a lot of success with the mass vaccination sites and even our neighborhood sites, and we are really now being a lot more targeted in our efforts to really reach communities and people where they're at, including if we have to, for homebound seniors, go into their household to vaccinate them or set up in places like this where it's acceptable to the community to get vaccinated.
This site will be open by appointment or drop-in on Saturdays from 9:30 to 3.
Take a live look out at the Bay Area. After the CDC ended most of its mask mandate for vaccinated people, it's not clear if the state or local governments will follow suit. In the Bay Area, some are happy about not having to wear masks, while others are erring on the side of caution. We could see an updated mask policy from the state in the next few days, but major retailers already lifting their mask requirements, including Costco, Starbucks, Trader Joe's, Walmart, all those chains, relying on local rules for mask guidelines.
A major gathering in San Francisco as hundreds of people turned out of the Mission District today to show their support for Palestinians.
Palestine will be free!
During today's rally, a new mural also surfaced on the street on Valencia near 15th. Organizers of today's rally say it is a symbol of solidarity and joint resistance with Palestinians.
Palestinians have been kicked out of their homes. They've been slaughtered by the Israeli military. As of today, 140 Palestinians have been killed, and that includes 40 children.
Today's rally is one of hundreds across the nation and the world demanding an end to the violence towards Palestinians. We reached out to the Israeli consulate in San Francisco for a response to today's protests, and so far we have not heard back.
Well, today people in the East Bay marked AAPI Heritage Month by taking a stand against Asian hate. Today's rally in downtown Oakland drew hundreds of people. So a lot of signs reading no to violence, yes to respect, and unity against racism. Community leaders and the mayor also called for different communities to stand together to end racism.
I want to stand up like all of you together, working together, and bring the all communities together and fighting racism.
It is our turn to be the center of the insistence, an insistence that leaders lead with love, with peace, with unity.
The event today included performances by local artists and a street festival with booths.
We are learning that a fire destroyed a Concord church building. It may have been sparked by a homeless person seeking shelter. KPIX5's John Ramos spoke with church members today about the loss and their path moving forward.
The fire that broke out on the back end of the church property made a total loss of this building, but it had little effect, if any, on the congregation or its mission. The two-story building at the Christ Community Church in Concord was engulfed in flames when firefighters arrived. The multi-purpose building included a kitchen, classrooms, and a large meeting space. After the fire was out, a cadaver dog searched the ruins for victims. And that's because evidence shows someone had been living in the space beneath the foundation.
But it looks like maybe someone had moved the grate and then was like pulling it closed behind them, because no one expects to go check under their property every day to make sure there's no one there.
Luckily, no human remains were found. And today, Janelle Maher, the church's interim pastor, said they feel no anger towards the person who did this.
It's really easy to see how it could just as easily have been me that was homeless, had been me that broke into an unoccupied building looking for shelter.
Concern for the homeless is a real commitment here. Throughout the pandemic, the local food bank has used the church parking lot as a distribution point. And even today, with the smell of smoke still hanging in the air, church members handed out groceries to people who can use some help. People like Andrew Lawrence.
They have hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people come here and get groceries. I've been coming here for 5 years, and I have had nothing but good things for me.
That's something that we do. We just keep carrying on. We're one big family. We're going to keep it going on.
The multi-purpose building is gone, and even though the actual sanctuary still stands, the church will be looking for a new home. The property is being sold to become an affordable housing complex, and the congregation was already set to relocate to a nearby senior center. The fire complicates things a bit, but for the church's members, there are no hard feelings. They say it only highlights the importance of their mission.
It's a bummer to me, not because of our building, like, it's a bummer to me that we have people in our community that, like, the most hospitable place they can think to sleep is under a building.
In Concord, John Ramos, KPIX 5.
Investigators say they could not determine if the two-alarm fire was set intentionally or by accident.
We are learning new details in a deadly shooting in San Mateo. It happened last night in the parking lot of the San Mateo Adult School on Poplar Avenue. Police say a 19-year-old man was killed there. Witnesses told police that a group ran away moments after gunfire rang out. Authorities say the shooting is not related to the school. The identity of the victim has not been released, and no arrests have been made.
Fremont police stop a sexual assault in progress and arrest a homeless man they say is connected to several other similar crimes. Officers say Alexander Lomax was caught assaulting a 67-year-old woman Thursday morning. Investigators say it happened just an hour after he committed a different sexual assault. Now, officers say Lomax may have sexually assaulted a 75-year-old woman inside a Safeway last week. The news of the assaults putting Fremont residents on edge.
Nobody saw it coming, and if the streets are not safe, I don't know what else could be.
I hope the women or the woman involved will be okay. But I'm very heartbroken to hear it is sad.
Lomax is now facing several charges of sexual assault and elder abuse. Investigators are asking anyone who may have been a victim to call police. And new pictures out of Sonoma County where fire crews tackled a challenging rescue operation. A work truck apparently collided with a sedan head-on. Both vehicles tumbled down the side of Mark West Springs Road north of Santa Rosa. Fire crews rescued three people trapped inside. No word yet on their condition. Now at the jellyfish at the Monterey Bay Aquarium. The aquarium is back in business after being shut down for 13 months. But
jellyfish is camera shy.
Was it camera shy? Okay. But before you head down, online reservations are required. So for now, the aquarium will be open Thursday through Monday. The plan is to reopen 7 days a week after Memorial Day.
Bay Area Congressman Eric Swalwell is speaking out, some say overreacting, about a heated confrontation inside the House over masks. Swalwell appeared on CNN today and explained why he had some obscene language for the aide of Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Said it all began when he left the House floor.
I just forgot to take my mask off once I came out of the building. I love having my mask off now. Greene's aide said, "Take your mask off, Congressman." And I kept walking past, and I thought, you know what? I'm tired of this. These marauding goons who are going around trying to bully my other colleagues. So I just went up to him and, you know, asked him who he was, and I told him, "Don't tell me what to do," with some words that you can't say on CNN.
Swalwell says that Greene's aide was speechless. Despite the CDC lifting most mask mandates, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi is still mandating masks on the House floor until all members and staff are fully vaccinated.
Taking a live look from the state capitol, where Governor Newsom is pushing an ambitious $267 billion budget proposal. It includes $20 billion for public schools, $12 billion to address homelessness, $4 billion for small businesses, and over $5 billion to invest in drought response and water resilience. The governor also wants to address another problem. He says California has become, in his words, too dirty. Now, part of the new budget is $1.5 billion to fund the cleanup and beautification of the state. The money will be used to remove more than 1 million cubic yards, 17,000 tons of litter off highways and local streets.
And I think long term, once people see what we're doing, they'll say, look, I want to take care of my community even more than I currently do, because look at what the public sector is doing. Look what the government is doing.
The proposal is expected to create 15,000 new jobs.
Gubernatorial recall candidate John Cox facing an investigation for his unusual campaign mascot. This comes after Cox brought this 1,000-pound bear to a San Diego campaign event on Tuesday. And now the SF Gate reports the Humane Society's Law Enforcement Division is investigating Cox and his campaign for possibly violating a city code related to unusual animals. The code bans people from bringing animals like bears, tigers, lions, and ocelots into San Diego. Zoos are exempt from the code. The bear in question is named Tag, born in captivity to be trained for movies and TV shows. Animal rights activists have spoken out against Cox's choice to campaign with the bear. The Gate published this response from the Cox campaign. Every care was taken to ensure Tag's comfort and safety with the approval of several governmental agencies. California needs beastly change, and that may ruffle some feathers of left-wing activists.
Well, today is the extended deadline date to enroll in Covered California's health care coverage. So if you are uninsured and eligible, you have just hours before the cutoff at midnight. New at 6 today, San Francisco office janitors voted to approve a tentative new labor agreement. Some janitors voted in person at Oracle Park today. The contract includes a $3 an hour wage increase, safety protections and medical benefits, and more. Janitors who were laid off will also get to keep their seniority. Federal officials are investigating how autopilot may have played a role in a deadly Tesla crash.
Yeah, the driver slammed into a semi-truck earlier this month. This happened in Southern California. And reporter Lori Perez has the details.
It was a devastating crash. The Tesla crushed after slamming into an overturned semi on the 210 in Fontana on May 5th. The Tesla's owner, 35-year-old Stephen Hendrickson of Running Springs, was killed. The truck driver and a good Samaritan who stopped to help him were seriously injured.
Hey, everybody. Good morning.
Hendrickson was a Tesla enthusiast, posting often on social media, sometimes from inside the car. In this video, showing no feet on the pedals, no hands on the wheel, clearly comfortable with the system. The CHP says they haven't ruled if the autopilot was used, saying there has not been a final determination made as to what driving mode the Tesla was in or if it was a contributing factor to the crash. They also say autopilots should be used with care. This is an opportunity to remind the public that driving is a complex task that requires a driver's full attention.
That's Lori Perez reporting. It is the 29th federal investigation into Tesla autopilot systems.